That's the inner movement of the double concerto in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach for two violins. And that's a fairly famous recording, a live recording with Isaac Stern performing with his friend and protege Itzhak Perlman on his 60th anniversary celebration, the New York Philharmonic backing them up. As promised, I now have three guests to chat with on the line here at Classical WMUK, and they, two of the soloists, will be playing this very concerto in concert with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra on Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. They're both winners, gold medalists of the Stolberg International String Competition. They've flown to Kalamazoo and are rehearsing and preparing to perform Saturday night. On the line, I also have resident conductor Daniel Breyer. Daniel, I'll start with you. Thank you for joining me here on Classical WMUK. Hello, can you hear me, Daniel?
Hello?
Okay, sorry, that was on my end. I had a little red button to press that I hadn't pressed yet.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And I'd also like to say hello to Dongyang Shim. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And Kayla Wakao, the 2020 gold medalist. 2021, make that. Hello, Kayla.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
So you're all gathered at the offices of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and in the next few days, you'll be working together to bring this wonderful concert together and playing a wonderful concerto as well. But I'd like our listeners to get to know a little bit about each of you, and I'll start with Dongyang Shim, because it was 2 years ago that you won the gold medal at the Stolberg International String Competition. Dongyang, you are now a resident of Boston, Massachusetts, I believe.
Yes.
And how long have you studied at the New England Conservatory?
This is my fourth year at NEC, and I'm really enjoying my work there, especially I feel like chamber music. They have a really great program, and I'm really enjoying my professor, Mr. Weilerstein. I'm really having a good time.
You mentioned, is it Professor Weilerstein?
Yeah.
He is famous for having been part of a string quartet, is that right?
Yes.
What quartet was that?
A Cleveland quartet.
The Cleveland.
It was the first five.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay, thank you. And he has a famous daughter, too.
Yeah.
Elisa Weilerstein is a cellist. You play violin, of course, and perhaps you could tell us a little about what drew you to the violin and some of your early learning experiences.
I actually started as a hobby when I was 7, but after having performances when I was in elementary school, I just decided to play as my major. And I really wanted to perform more often, and I decided to come to the U.S. when I was 16 years old there in Korea. And, yeah. I'm really enjoying my work here.
When you said you like chamber music, I thought to myself, he likes the fun part. He likes playing.
Yeah.
That is terrific. Was it strange to compete virtually in this competition? Normally, you know, you arrive in the town and spend a couple of days here and you play live in front of people, but that was not at all what had to happen during the pandemic.
Actually, I was expecting to perform in person because it was actually before COVID when I found out that I got into Stolberg as a competitor, but
That's right.
Actually, I was first disappointed that I was not able to come here, but it was actually a really great time to compete in virtual format. Like, everyone really supported well, and also it was a great time for me to look back my performance because we had to, like, record ourselves. And, yeah, it was a great experience for me.
I'm speaking with Dongyoung Shim, the 2020 gold medalist of the Stahlberg competition. And when did you first meet Kayla Wakao?
We started rehearsing
1 month ago.
Yeah.
We actually, even though we studied with the same teacher, we never actually met each other in person. So I knew of Dongyoung, but I never actually met him. So it was great to finally get to rehearse and meet each other.
It's not that unusual, I suppose. But yeah, you're in the same town, same school, same teacher. And you finally got to play together a month ago. What is it? When you are a musician, sometimes you learn a lot about another person, not by talking to them, but playing with them. Can you describe, Kayla, what it's like to play with Dongyoung and what comes out in his playing that you enjoy, that you like?
Yeah, of course, it's always exciting to perform with another musician because you get to learn from them. I think that's one of the most important things about being able to perform with another person. And Dongyoung's has a wonderful sound, and I think he's such a wonderful musician because we don't just focus on ourselves, but we focus on each other, how we play. And our teacher always told us to kind of feel the energy of our fingers. So having that kind of perspective working together was, of course, a blast. And I also feel like I can play freely because we both listen to each other. So this whole experience is really enjoyable.
And now I'm going to ask you, Dongyoung, what about Kayla's playing that you admire?
We were actually rehearsing also like a few days ago, and I really liked her sparkle energy in her playing. And yeah, it was a really great time to work with her and collaborating. I feel like also I learned a lot from performing with her. Yeah, it's really been a great time.
This concerto by Johann Sebastian Bach gives you places where you need to play together really closely, passages that are quick and like scale passages, and you can't tear apart during that time. But it also gives you that beautiful second movement where there's breathing space and sharing and back and forth. And I'm not sure what my question is. Does that describe the concerto to you well, Dongyoung?
Yeah, it's really a great piece to work with. Like, it has wonderful sparkle in it. Also, it has kind of darkness in it. Such a great piece.
How about you, Kayla?
Yeah, I think it's basically like a conversation. Like, every movement, it's like the instruments are having a conversation with each other. So I think music itself is a language, so being able to bring that out with this Bach is a wonderful feeling, and it's very amazing to work on.
I'm speaking with the two soloists for Saturday night's concert with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. It's at 7:30 Saturday in Miller Auditorium, and full details are at kalamazoosymphony.com. And I wouldn't be surprised if these two soloists would like to hear what Daniel Breyer has to say about this concerto and putting it all together and ways they can all meet on the same page. What do you think about this work, Daniel?
Well, the music of Bach is very important to me and very close to my heart. And I think I myself am a violinist as well. I'm a non-practicing violinist, but playing the violin, we encounter his music very early in our education, and it stays with us for the rest of our lives. He wrote the famous sonatas and partitas, the concerti, but this concerto in particular is very important because it's the conversation between the two instruments. Not one is placed above the other. Both parts are nearly equal in difficulty. Sometimes we as violinists will kind of go back and forth about which one's actually harder, but both parts are equally important and equally difficult, but also the collaboration with the orchestra as well. He writes these passages where we're all playing together, these large tutti passages, and then these passages where the orchestra turns into more like a jazz band comping while the soloists are playing their material. And the final thing that I really love about this particular piece is how exquisite the counterpoint is. There's so much happening at once, but the way he writes it, you can hear all of the different musical ideas woven together so beautifully.
Bach was such a busy composer. Is this one of the pieces that kind of came together out of different works, like parts of cantatas or an organ concerto or something like that?
This is part of a set of concerto that he, or concerti that he wrote. I think this might be number three in the set. I don't remember off the top of my head exactly, but I believe it was number three. But he wrote this for this particular instrument combination. He did later adapt it, but this is it's for two violins and orchestra, and it's really quite remarkable. It's a remarkable piece.
When an orchestra like the Kalamazoo Symphony plays music from this era, the Baroque era, there's probably a few ideas or techniques or approaches you would take, Daniel, to either acknowledge the style of the time or to retain some of the lightness required.
Correct. It's an approach that, and even later when we sit down together and really dive into it, just the three of us, we'll definitely be talking about the approach and how we want to, you know, what elements of the historical style we want to incorporate. One of the biggest things for us is that we all play modern instruments and modern bows, which are designed to project more sound into large concert halls like Miller Auditorium. And we have ways that we can adapt and make it sound stylistically elegant and appropriate, but yet retain our beloved modern instruments and bows. And that's a process I began last night with the orchestra. It will continue today together. And then tonight, as we're all together on the stage, we'll definitely be hashing it out and figuring out exactly how we want to do it. There's another thing that's important is sometimes we add ornamentation, little trills or little additional things that aren't actually in the part that would be in the style of this music. And so sometimes we do that. It's a fun process, actually, because we're trying to create something using different instruments, but creating this really, you know, beautiful and energetic sound.
Here on Classical WMUK, we're learning about how work gets done with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra to prepare a concert, which in this case is Saturday night at 7:30 at Miller Auditorium, finishing the hat, if I may use a Sondheim reference, all of these details that go into the work. Before we move on to other parts of the program, Daniel, I'd like to quickly go back to our Stolberg soloists, both gold medalists, Dongyang in 2020 and Kayla in 2021. Dongyang Shim, do you plan to apply for other competitions this year, or do you have any other goals in the next year or so?
I'm trying my best to international competitions. I feel like I'm really improving a lot after each competition, and I'm like even just performing in various countries and like meeting various audiences, and that really improves my violin and also my perspective a lot.
Oh, that's so it's a valuable experience. Well, same question to Kayla. In the next year, do you have musical goals? Do you have competitions that you're hoping to perform in?
Currently, I have no plans for competitions. But my goal is to kind of expand my repertoire list and learn different music and travel to different countries and meet other musicians. I think that's what my goal is so far.
And I imagine that COVID has not made that an easy goal to accomplish.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish both of you the best of luck with your plans and to have a wonderful Saturday night here in Kalamazoo, hopefully the first of many. Daniel, talk about the rest of this program, if you would. It has two other works on it, one by Shostakovich, a composer I know, of course, and one by a composer I don't really know, Jonathan Bailey Howard.
Correct. Yes, it's a very eclectic program, and there's also a surprise on the program as well. We couldn't bring both of these fantastic young artists here without having them play a little something for, as like a gift to our community, a really fun showpiece by Sarasate. So after intermission, we're going to bring them back out, and they're going to play the Navara, which is a dance for two violins and orchestra. And then holding this whole program together is that really each of these pieces has an element of dance and classicism in the music. Jonathan Bailey Holland is a wonderful established composer. He was born in Flint, Michigan. He writes very engaging and interesting music. And this particular piece, Motor City Remix, is a remix of a work he wrote for the Detroit Symphony when they opened up their hall earlier in this century. And this piece incorporates techno rhythms, and he uses the orchestra in a very unusual way in that everything is built, stacked together like an engine. So a lot of times you'll hear passages where you hear this techno rhythm, and it's mashed together through different groups of the orchestra, and each of the groups of the orchestra have to work together and stay together, even though sometimes completely other things are happening in other parts of the orchestra. One other interesting feature is that he wrote out a drum solo for the entire percussion section. So we will create a little bit of noise at the beginning of the concert, which will be lots of fun. And we will close the concert with Dmitri Shostakovich's Ninth Symphony, a very, very important work among all of his symphonies. I happen to think he was the last great, you know, symphonist of that tradition that stretches, you know, back through Sibelius and Mahler all the way back to Haydn. And this Ninth Symphony pays homage to Haydn in a very interesting way.
Well, I have to admit that I was looking at the program and I went Symphony Number 9. Oh, that's always a big one. You know, that's always so important. And you know, because of Beethoven putting all of his universality into his Ninth Symphony, and then I was like, wait a sec, Shostakovich went on. He wrote more than 9. He wrote 15.
Correct, 15, and. This Ninth Symphony is a very interesting work. It's basically the last of his war symphonies that he wrote during the Second World War. It's the end of a series of three symphonies that are very important, the Seventh Symphony, the Eighth Symphony, and then this symphony, the Ninth Symphony. During that time, he wrote Symphony Number 7 while the city of St. Petersburg was under siege. It was a very important work because it was played all across the city on loudspeakers, and the way he wrote it, it lifted everyone's spirits and gave people a great deal of hope for the future. The Eighth Symphony, the war had begun to turn in Russian in the Russian country's favor, and Stalin was hoping that he would write something rather, you know, again, hopeful and raising everyone's spirits. But the Eighth Symphony is actually quite dark, and Shostakovich is writing music that deals with just the humanity and the destruction that war brings. And then by the time we get to the Ninth Symphony, the war had pretty much ended. It was not quite completely ended yet, but it was very clear who was the Russians were going to be victorious. And Stalin wanted a very large symphony that would have winds by three or four, woodwind instruments by three or four, a large brass section, huge chorus in the vein of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Shostakovich was known for being able to say the right thing to keep himself alive and working, and he even made public comments that he was working on this very large symphony that was going to have chorus and everything. Stalin himself expected a dedication because, after all, in his mind, he was the reason that everyone was victorious. And Shostakovich's Ninth Symphony is exactly the opposite of what was expected. And this work is filled with jokes and humor. It's very light. It's very short. And one of the ways he was able to get it past the government censors all the way to the premiere is that he alludes to a lot of things in the past, and he has all of the elements for a big victory symphony, but he doesn't assemble it that way. For instance, it's in the key of E flat major, and the censors would have seen that and gone, oh, that's right, there's Beethoven, the Eroica symphony, E flat major, this must be heroic. If you look in the music, there's all these references. The second movement is like a waltz. But when you hear it, you realize that it's a waltz that is completely destructed and deformed and unusual. He has a scherzo that looks like exactly what the government censors would have wanted,
yeah.
Yet that scherzo just falls apart. So it's a really remarkable work in which he's really actually... it's an act of civil disobedience to Stalin himself, and it did create a lot of problems for him, and he did not write another symphony until Stalin died.
I still can't get my head around, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there can't get their head around the fact that the leader of one of the most powerful countries in the world would give a darn about what even a composer as prominent as Shostakovich was writing.
It's true. It's difficult for us to understand and comprehend, but it was a difficult time. And there, you can read about people who listened to all three of those symphonies premiered, the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. And when I was doing some reading, I read some people after the 7th, it lifted their spirits. And the 8th, they realized exactly what he was saying. He was drawing their attention to this human cost because everyone had lost someone in the war. And in the 9th, you read about people that listened to that, and they just left silent because they realized that the war had ended, but were left still with Stalin. And it's a really remarkable work that I'm very excited that we get to play together.
That's Saturday at 7:30 in Miller Auditorium. The Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra continuing its season number sort of 100. We're sort of spreading 100 over a couple of celebrational years. Is it a sort of a perverse compliment that, maybe here in America, politicians should be concerned with the output of our finest composers as a possible way of kind of creating the country they want or that they're or trying to censor artists who create works that they don't like. I mean, in a way, the fact that Russian leaders were so concerned about what the arts community was up to is a bit of a compliment.
Yes, I do think it's a testament to Shostakovich is brilliant. Also Prokofiev, in the same generation, that their music was so closely scrutinized. But I know for myself, when I perform his music, that I always come away deeply grateful for the ability to have made music in this country where such ideas just aren't present, and that we have the freedom to make music and make music with young artists like this and communicate directly with our public. So I think for me it's a very heartening thing that I've been given the privilege to be able to make music in this country.
Well, I think we'll have to leave it there for this morning. And you've given us a lot to think about, Daniel Breyer, resident conductor of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Finally, give us a peek ahead at the current season, if you would.
Yes, on February 9th, we are back at Bell's for the first time since the pandemic began for craft music. That's a very small, pint-sized orchestra where we play, you know, just fun and light, lighthearted music while everyone can enjoy a drink. We have E.T. live to picture coming up in February as well. And then in March, we have a wonderful program featuring the full orchestra, but also exploring the folk traditions around the world.
Finally, I want to thank soloists again, Dongyang Shim and Kayla Wakao, for giving us so much to look forward to on Saturday. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And Daniel, would you set us up to hear this first movement? You said there's jokes that we can look for in Shostakovich's Ninth Symphony.
Yes, in the first movement, there's a few great jokes, but in the first few seconds, you'll hear a deliberately placed wrong note that he even accents with a trill in the violin. You'll hear my favorite joke of all, and I'll leave it with this, is the trombone. The trombone plays two notes, bum-bum, and he plays those two notes to get us into what we would call the second theme. But in the middle of the piece, you'll hear him play those two notes six different times, and it sounds like he's actually completely lost and has no idea where he is. And it's a great movement. It's very lighthearted and joyful and just a wonderful piece of music.
I love it. And for myself, I so appreciate the chance to talk to the artists who are in the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra or presented on the season. It is a real joy to bring your voices to public radio in Kalamazoo. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
For having us.